Faithful Daniel identifies himself with unfaithful Israel. Daniel pleaded with the Lord for the speedy fulfillment of these promises and for the honor of God to be preserved. He identified himself fully with those who had fallen short of the divine purpose, confessing their sins as his own. Though Daniel had been spoken of by heaven as greatly beloved, he now appeared before God as a sinner, urging the need of the people he loved. His prayer was eloquent in its simplicity. O Lord, we have sinned, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins, and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God. Even before the prophet had finished his plea, Gabriel again appeared to him, called his attention to the vision he had seen, and outlined in detail the 70 weeks which were to begin at the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. The beginning of Cyrus's reign marked the completion of the 70 years since the first company of Hebrews had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. The deliverance of Daniel from the den of lions had been used of God to create a favorable impression on the mind of Cyrus. The sterling qualities of the man of God as a statesman of far-seeing ability led the Persian ruler to show him marked respect and to honor his judgment. And now God moved upon Cyrus to discern the prophecies concerning himself and to grant the Jewish people their liberty. The king saw the words foretelling more than 100 years before his birth the manner in which Babylon should be taken. He read the message addressed to him by the ruler of the universe, "I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, and from the west, that there is none beside me. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." As he traced the inspired record, "He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward," his heart was profoundly moved, and he determined to fulfill his divinely appointed mission. He would let the Judean captives go free. In a proclamation published throughout all his kingdom, Cyrus made known his desire, "The Lord God of heaven hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, he is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Let the house be builded," he further directed regarding the temple, the place where they offered sacrifices, "and let the expenses be given out of the king's house, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is in Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem." Tidings of this decree reached the farthermost provinces, and there was great rejoicing. Many, like Daniel, had been studying the prophecies and had been seeking God for his promised intervention in behalf of Zion. And now their prayers were being answered. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. About 50,000 from the Jews in exile determined to take advantage of the wonderful opportunity to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. Their friends aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with costly wares. Cyrus the king also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord, RSV. The long journey across the desert was accomplished in safety, and the happy company at once undertook the work of re-establishing that which had been destroyed. The chief of the fathers led an offering of their substance to help defray the expense of rebuilding the temple, and the people, following their example, gave freely of their meager store. See. An altar was erected on the site of the ancient altar in the temple court. The people gathered themselves together as one man and united in re-establishing the sacred services interrupted at the destruction of Jerusalem, and they kept also the Feast of Tabernacles. Setting up the altar greatly cheered the faithful remnant. They gathered courage as preparations for rebuilding the temple advanced from month to month. Surrounded by many sad reminders of the apostasy of their fathers, they longed for some abiding token of divine forgiveness and favor. Above regaining personal property, they valued the approval of God. They felt the assurance of His presence with them, yet they desired greater blessings. They looked forward to the time when they might behold the shining forth of His glory from within the rebuilt temple. The workmen found among the ruins some of the immense stones brought to the temple site in the days of Solomon. These were made ready for use, and much new material was provided. Soon the foundation stone was laid in the presence of many thousands assembled to witness the progress of the work. While the cornerstone was being set in position, the people sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord.